This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shazana and Xiaoning. We're turning our attention now, though, to U.S. monetary policy. The public face of the U.S. Federal Reserve is its chair, Jerome Powell. But behind him is also a 7-member board of governors that is tasked with overseeing the central bank's policies. There are presently 3 vacancies on the board, and President Joe Biden last week announced his nominations for these roles, namely former Fed Governor Sarah Bloom Raskin, as well as academic economists Lisa Cook and Philip Jefferson.
Now, if approved by Congress, the new appointees would make the Fed's top leadership the most diverse by race and gender in its 108-year history. Now, of course, the decisions by the U.S. Fed is incredibly influential over the trajectory of the global economy. So these nominations to the board are a closely watched affair.
And the question that we're asking is, how will these new appointments affect decision-making by the Fed, especially with a minimum of 3 rate hikes anticipated this year? For analysis on what's ahead for the Fed, we speak to Daniel Moss, columnist with Bloomberg Opinion. Daniel, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us today. What do you make of the candidates to the Fed board put forth by President Biden? What signal is he hoping to send to markets with these prospective appointments?
It's important to break this down and distinguish between monetary policy and banking regulation. Now, on monetary policy, despite the diverse nature of this group, they will not make a great deal of influence, a great deal of difference on policy, at least immediately. That's because something that's little understood is that you really only need to listen to 3 people at the Fed. Despite the whole cast of characters at Turning Points. They are the chair, the vice chair, and the president of the New York Fed. The 4th most influential player is actually staff at the Division of Monetary Affairs at the Federal Reserve Board in D.C. So that's monetary policy. In terms of banking regulation, if confirmed, Bloom Raskin would mark a significant departure from the person who preceded her, a Donald Trump appointee. The key question is, can Bloom Raskin get confirmed in a 50-50 Senate? The others should probably be okay.
I'm just curious, and you mentioned banking regulations. What do you think might change there if actually Biden's nominations get through?
One of the main criticisms that progressives in the Democratic Party, particularly but not exclusively Senator Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts, have made is that Randy Quarles, who was Trump's appointee to that position, took it too easy on banks, that some of the Dodd-Frank reforms were able to be not scrapped but whittled away and some of their effectiveness reduced. Now, that's not a universal view, but that's been the principal criticism. But as I say, she has to get confirmed. 50-50 Senate, it's going to be tough. All you need is one Democratic defection and a unified Republican bloc, and she's in trouble.
Okay, so she is probably the candidate that we're not sure whether she'll get through or not. And you said that regardless of the composition, the monetary policy of the Fed is unlikely to change direction. We know that tackling soaring inflation will be the main preoccupation of the Fed this year. What factors are going to affect their decision-making in terms of when to raise hikes, when to raise interest rates, and by how much?
Well, they need to get going soon. The Fed aims for an average rate of inflation of 2% over time. That's 2% according to the gauge they watch, known as PCE. Now, we're up around 5% if you look at the Labor Department's measure of consumer prices. It's up around 7%. So we are a long way from target. And as of now, the Fed is still doing QE. So they need to quickly wrap up QE and begin to tighten policy. Now, this gets back to the point you initially raised about the new appointees. They are perceived as dubs. But it's one thing to be a dub when inflation is around 2%. It's entirely another to be a dub when it's 5% or 7%.
Daniel, I want to shift to the conversation to some of these unanswered questions over the contentious trading activity of former Fed officials, which did prompt the resignation of three officials so far. What's the crux of the controversy, and do you see this having a lasting impact on the public trust in the Federal Reserve?
I don't see it as having a lasting impact on public trust, principally because there aren't actually that many people in the United States who know what the Federal Reserve is or know what it does. You know, in the financial community, people talk about the Fed this, the Fed that. That means one thing, the Federal Reserve. Some parts of America, people think you're talking about the FBI. So in terms of the folks who watch the Federal Reserve day in, day out, the reason why I don't think this will have a lasting impact is the two district bank officials who were affected by this left almost immediately. The former vice chair, Richard Clarida, left 2 weeks before his term was up in January, principally because he did not want Jay Powell or Lael Brainard to have to face too many questions about it during their confirmation hearings last Tuesday and Thursday. 2 weeks doesn't make a difference in substance. It can make a difference in terms of optics.
So we know that the trading scandal is being investigated by an independent government watchdog at the moment. And Jerome Powell has said that they will tighten the rules for trading following this situation. I mean, what outcome can be expected from the investigations, and how will guidelines be tightened further, do you think?
I don't know. Look, one thing that's worth bearing in mind here is the federal. We need to talk about the Federal Reserve System. Now, the two district bank presidents that left, Eric Rosengren in Boston and Rob Kaplan in Dallas, they are district Federal Reserve banks. They are not formally part of the federal government. They are responsible, believe it or not, to their own shareholders and their own directors, who are typically business figures from the district where the bank is based. So you've got this complicated patchwork of arrangements. You know, the district bank presidents typically earn much more than members of the Federal Reserve Board as well, including the chair. So they'll need to find a set of principles, draw up a set of rules that the various constituents can all agree on. Normally, the Fed is pretty cognizant of optics, so that shouldn't be a problem.
Daniel, thanks very much for speaking to us this morning. That was Daniel Moss, columnist with Bloomberg Opinion, talking to us about what's happening with the Fed, with Biden's new appointees to the board, as well as the trading scandal and the fallout from it. He expects it to be fairly minimal, but I'm sure debates will continue.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.